Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hard day to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, October 26th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Multitask Your Way into Living Your Passion. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule today to join us. I realize you have many other options of things you could do with your time, so I thank you for joining us. I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by asking questions either on the phone line or adding comments in the chat room. If you're on the phone lines, all you have to do is press #1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. And if you're on the internet in the web chat room, you just type in questions or comments, whatever, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so you know what that means. Anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing, so if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again to the same number you called in the first place, 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. I'm Flora Brown again, the author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I recently wrote Color Your Life Happy, the book. But in preparation for that, I was a mom of four children and a grandma of three. And I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. If you haven't already done so, I want you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, if you're ready to make positive changes in your life. My book is also available on Amazon.com and at all major booksellers. But when you order from my website, you will get an autographed copy, so it's up to you. The book is full of stories, tips, activities, and, of course, episodes from my life. And all of these things are designed to speak to your desire to get the life you want and the life you deserve. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. So each week, I interview guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, and so on. Today, my guest is Debbie Quintana. She's a Silicon Valley entrepreneur, a magazine publisher, and a small business consultant. Hi there, Debbie.
Good morning.
Good morning. In a moment, we're going to start, but first I want to tell the listeners a little bit more about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Now, Debbie is definitely someone who can talk about multitasking because she is the founder and president of Gourmet Gifts, a unique gift basket company which focuses on personalization, branding, and superior customer service. Now, she's been successful at creating one of the most unique approaches to the gift industry by providing a model of personalization which has awarded her a high level of respect amongst her customers, and as a matter of fact, and her peers. In May 2008, Debbie was recognized by the reputable Silicon Valley Business Journal in their 40 Under 40 program as an up-and-coming innovator in Silicon Valley. And that's no small task, because we all know there are a lot of great innovators in Silicon Valley. Now, as a small business consultant, Debbie has worked with small business owners to create, rejuvenate, and launch their businesses by focusing on the customer service, taking the right risk, and demonstrating excellence. Now, she has over 60 clients. I was about to say under. It's over 60 clients, and these are all under her belt so far, because she has developed a reputation for helping these clients with realizing their dreams. In 2009, Debbie launched her second gift basket company. One wasn't enough. She had to go and start another one. This one is called the Spirit of Wellness, and the Spirit of Wellness is designed to specifically address the needs for gifts associated with challenging times that people have, promoting gifts for individuals who are going through challenges such as chemo, depression, and anxiety. Through this site, she provides gifts for those looking for personal improvement and relaxation as well. That sounds like something we all need. Now, her most recent project, remember I told you she's a multitasker? Okay. Her most recent project, the Gift Basket Association, is getting global attention as she brings gift basket companies all over the world together to collaborate and partner in the spirit of raising awareness and sales to the industry. Now, Debbie is also the founding member of the Women's Networking Alliance, an organization designed to enable support and growth among women business owners in Silicon Valley. This organization has recently announced their support for Girls for Change in San Jose, California. Now, if that's not enough, Debbie is a respected networking professional, but she's also an advocate for philanthropy and environment. She, in her spare time, is a global security manager for Cisco Systems, and she specializes in proactive intelligence, crisis management, safety, and investigations. In her other spare time, she enjoys relaxing with her husband, Alex, and her son, Travis. Whew. Debbie,
you're making
I'm
me tired.
Tired. I know. Tired from reading your bio. This is fantastic.
Well,
so you're the perfect
you.
Person to talk about getting things done and following your passion. And
thank
I'm going
you.
To ask you the question I know everybody asks you first, because people used to ask me this all the time. How do you do it all?
Well, thank you. That's it's interesting. Every time somebody reads my bio, I'm like, oh gosh, wow. That sounds like a lot. You know, I think the biggest thing for me is really recognizing when you need help and being willing to let go and delegate some of the tasks that you need done. And so the way that I do it is that I have wonderful people that work with me, for me and around me, and I use that accordingly. You know, I pick and choose the things that I'm really passionate about, and those are the ones that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else, I delegate it. And I've got really great people that I work with, and that's what makes it all worthwhile, allows me to do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah, you said two things that are important. You do the things that you care about and you have passion for,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly, you get people to help you who can help mm-hmm. you carry out your passion. So those are two important things I think all of us need to realize. Now, what's a typical day like for you?
Typical day is I try to get up as early as I can. I typically try to go to bed about 11 o'clock. I try to get up around 6.
Mm-hmm.
I handle all of my anything having to do with non-Cisco work between about 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of East Coast business I have for Gift Basket Association or Women's Networking Alliance,
mm-hmm.
for that hour, I get my son up and get dressed for work between 7 and 7:30 and try to leave here somewhere in the neighborhood at about 7:45, drop
mm-hmm.
Travis off at school,
mm-hmm.
Head to Cisco. I work at Cisco till about 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
pick Travis up, transition home, get back on the computer and work Cisco till about 6,
mm-hmm.
have dinner, and then I work from about, 8 o'clock till about 11, doing everything else
mm-hmm.
I need to get done for all the other businesses, check in with my team, that type of thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now, when you were sharing the things, a lot of what you said is very familiar to me because I had four children. So I was running at some points I felt like I was running a small order kitchen in the morning for breakfast because when they hit a certain age, suddenly they don't like what they used to like last week, and now I found myself cooking different things. And but what about, is your son involved in sports or after school activities as well?
Yeah, you know, my son's not a big sport nut, but he's definitely very involved in music. He's a drummer, as is my husband. So,
okay.
You know, lots of little activities there. He also owns his own business. He does small videos for YouTube for businesses. So after school, we spend time working together on that, primarily doing work for the gift basket industry right now, but he does a lot of smaller projects as well. So, you know, he is very active, but it all works out very, very well for both of us.
So you put your son in business so that you both are busy doing your own businesses.
You know, it's a funny story. You know, this summer I said, you need to do something. You know, we're not going to sit around all summer and play video games. So he went to summer school, and he said, well, I don't want to go work at the mall. And I said, well, then you need to figure out what you'd like to do. And he said, I already know. And he said he wanted to start his own company.
All right.
So I said, okay, great, show me what you want to do. And he said, well, let me grab my camera and go out to the workshop. And we went out to the workshop, and he filmed my very first video on how to assemble a gift basket and put it up on YouTube. It's the one where I have the hat and the braids, and I was not expecting it to work out the way that it did. So he was
That's
proving
lovely.
A point.
Look at that. Okay.
Yeah, he proved the point perfectly fine. So, yeah, it's worked
that's
out really
wonderful.
Well.
That's wonderful because when the people around you are engaged in activities they enjoy, then it makes everything work so much better because then they don't have, you know, any upset with you for following your passion because they're doing something they enjoy. And,
absolutely.
And you can share this because the computer is involved in both of in your endeavors and his. So that's fantastic.
Yep, great.
Yeah, that's really great. What challenges have you had? And how did you overcome them? Because I'm sure
you
had some.
Yeah, I think the balancing was a big challenge for me. You know, you build your business and you have to make a decision at some point when you're actually going to hire help.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a big challenge for me is really making the decision as to, okay, when am I going to make the decision to actually hire somebody? And I waited too long to do that.
Yeah,
once I did it, it was like, oh, gosh, I should have done this so much sooner. So that was a big challenge for me. I think the other challenge was just letting go. You know, I have a tendency of wanting to not necessarily micromanage, but get things done in a very quick manner, and I needed to be able to let go and delegate some of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big challenge for me. I really struggled with letting go. But once I did it and started to realize that, you know, there are some things that I have to do that are, you know, they're on my shoulders that maybe I don't enjoy doing. But for the most part, you know, I do pick and choose what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the things that I really, really like, and I delegate the rest. But that was a big challenge for me is just the delegation part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the balancing act. You know, I've got three stepkids. They're all out of the house now, but that was a big deal in the earlier years of really trying to make sure that I was contributing and being a good stepmother contributing to each of them and finding that balance between owning my own company and then adding another company and working a full-time job and the calendar and everything. You know, God love my husband who has really taken on a very active role in our household and has been very supportive of me. So those were probably my three biggest challenges.
Wow. Well, one of the things that came into my mind as you were talking was one of the challenges I have, which I'm sure you have this one too, is that when you're creative and you've already been successful in a number of other things, you get an idea for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, wow, and you're eager to try it. You get that rush that you always get when you have this great idea, you think. How do you handle those new ideas coming in? Because obviously we can't do it all, and I have this constant challenge of wanting to add yet another thing and knowing that unless it's extremely easy to just add a little piece, if it's a whole other project, how do you decide whether to add that one or to put it off indefinitely, or, you know, you want to do it, you know it's great, but how do you make that decision as to when to do it or whether to do it at all?
I think, you know, two things. I do get a lot of ideas. I mean, while I'm driving in the middle of the night before I go to bed,
yeah.
and I mean, all the time. And so I journal very heavily. I carry a very big notebook with me at all times, and I have it broken up into sections. And so I write everything down, which alleviates me from stressing, thinking that I'm going to forget something.
Okay.
As far as your larger question of, you know, making a decision as to whether or not I do it, it's pretty simple. You know, I either feel it or I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where if it has anything to do with helping people, I push myself to really make the decision to do it. And
mm-hmm.
the Women's Networking Alliance was really the biggest decision in that regard. When I came up with the concept of creating my own networking organization, it was really not only to help the people that I have been working with over the years, but to also help me. I found myself doing a lot of small business consulting. And
mm-hmm.
on top of everything else I was doing, I was at my breaking point. I just couldn't do it, and yet I was very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that, well, if I can bring all these women together into a networking organization, then we can all help each other.
Okay.
So that was an easy decision to make. Now, some of the other things I put off. In the Women's Networking Alliance, we really want to do a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We really feel like there is not a magazine out there that really speaks to the way that we network and the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't do that right now. We're going national right now, so we're going to wait and put that off until next year. So sometimes it's a simple concept of bandwidth. But very rarely do I say no. I always figure out a way to say, okay, if I move this, if I cancel this, if I push this off, if I stop doing this, you know, we could fit this in. So I always go on the premise that given that I can get it done, how will I get it done? And does it mean hiring another person? Does it mean, you know, hiring another contract company to help me with whatever the project may be? But I never want to go on the premise that I don't have enough time
mm-hmm.
because there's always a way to figure it out.
To allocate that time. And mm-hmm. I like the suggestion that led you to form the Women's Networking Alliance because you recognized the need because you were working with individual women, and I suspect that you saw them having some of the same challenges and issues. And by forming the alliance, you actually made your work easier in some respects because women help each other, or people help each other when they're in any kind of networking. So in many ways, creating that helped alleviate some of the maybe dealing one-on-one.
It did, and it saved them a lot of money, right?
Yeah,
they no longer have to pay the consulting fees, which weren't a lot, but,
yeah.
you know, nonetheless, and they're able to get a lot more advice, and I'm still there giving advice and, you know, putting
mm-hmm.
in my 2 cents, and so it worked out really well. And then that's the same thing happened with the Gift Basket Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I got done doing so much, I still do a lot of consulting, but once I got done doing small business consulting, a lot of gift basket companies wanted me to consult for them. And
mm-hmm.
the same exact thing happened where mm-hmm. I said, you know what, if we can all come together and help one another in one association, it's going to really serve the people better than just one-on-one consulting with me.
Okay. Now, how much research did you do before you decided on these organizations? For example, with your Women's Networking Alliance, I mean, there are other women's groups around, so obviously you felt that there was something missing in the others that led you to start yours. And the same
mm-hmm.
thing with the magazine. You mentioned you want to start a magazine because obviously you have found that the magazines that are available in this niche aren't meeting all the needs. So how much research do you do? Or in the same with the Gift Basket Association, you know, how do you determine that there is a need that's not being met so that you can create your organization or your publication to fill that need?
Sure, and we do quite a bit. So as far as the Women's Networking Alliance was concerned, I went to 12 different networking organizations. And
wow, okay.
it was more because I wanted to join a networking organization. I wasn't too sure which one to join.
Okay.
So I purposely went to 12 different organizations here. This was about 3 years ago.
Wow.
And I enjoyed them. I did. There were some things that I liked about some and some things that I didn't like. But I left there just constantly feeling there's something missing. So I ended up joining a couple. I joined the one through the Chamber of Commerce, and I really did enjoy that. I was actually the chair for a whole year and enjoyed that networking organization. But every time I'd leave, I'd say there's just something missing. And
okay.
what was missing for me was that female element.
Okay.
It was, in addition to leads and referrals, it was more for me about how can women in business and moms and wives come together and really help each other? Leads and referrals are important, but how can we really truly help each other?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the research that was done there, and it's been a good success for me. I've really enjoyed the infrastructure that's been built around WNA, and now going national in 2010 will even allow us to make a bigger impact nationally with that program.
Mm.
The Gift Basket Association came because I had so many people asking me to do it. So many people really enjoyed what I was doing in my business model and really felt like there wasn't one centralized platform out there to really bring the gift basket industry together. So that was a very simple decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
I faced a lot of criticism. When I launched GBA, I had a lot of problems at first. I faced some criticism from people that were in the industry that said, "Who do you think you are to come into this industry and do this?"
Uh-huh.
And you know what, Flora? It motivated me so very much.
It
really did. It motivated me to be a better business person, to really make this a success. So I think for me, the research that I've done really yielded some positive results of I need to do this. This is something that I absolutely need to do.
Yeah, well, I want to commend you because I've been in the gift basket industry a long time too, as you know, even though I've started another endeavor alongside it. But one of the problems in the gift basket industry in particular and in some other industries as well is many people start off with a lot of good intentions and a lot of good ideas but don't always have the business model. And I think that's one of the big pluses of your organization is that you started off with a business model. And one of the things that was always my challenge, because I do gift basket consulting as well, is steering people to realize that the word business is in there. So many times they just want to focus on beautiful designs and making money and don't have the understanding that it's a business. If it's a business, then it's got to have a business model and a business approach, as any business has to. So I think that puts you many steps ahead of other organizations is that you're starting off with the business system in mind. You can always add that you can learn design. You can learn whatever some of the skills are. But if you don't recognize that it's a business and don't set it up as a business, then it's not going to succeed. It's going to be frustrating, and I commend you for that.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that. That means a lot to me coming from you because you've been in this industry for a long time. I think the other thing that really contributed to the success of Gift Basket Association and the magazine is a feeling of inclusion. I did not want to go out there and reinvent the wheel. I wanted people to be able to be included and be a part of the organization and me merely to be a facilitator for the industry. So
we worked
very hard to encourage that model of inclusion. It's not difficult to be a writer for our magazine. We want people that want to contribute and want to help others to be included in it. And so that was the foundation of the magazine.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. I wanted to talk about what some of your current challenges are because you mentioned in the beginning, the balancing and the letting go and delegating. What are some current challenges you're having now that you have these things in place, and how are you? What are your plans to get over these current ones?
I think my biggest challenge right now is, I think the biggest challenge for me at this moment is moving into the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And really being able to handle the amount of business that comes in for the gift basket industry in Q4. And we're launching the Women's Networking Alliance nationally right now. We're hoping to have everything up and running so that we can start, the chapters in January. So we're putting on chapter presidents right now. We're getting all of the work done. And that's a big challenge, to have two major projects going at the same time. The magazine is due out December 5th. So a lot of crunch time happening right now. And you know, I have a full-time job, and it's
yes.
you know, I work in safety and security, and it's flu season, and the swine flu is going to be very challenging
oh,
for us right now.
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of you know Q4 activities are happening right now, and I need to be very careful how I manage my time, and
mm-hmm.
making sure that I'm delegating more than ever. And I'm making sure that everybody around me is very well taken care of. And that right now is going to be a big challenge. Believe me, the first week of January, I'll be taking a vacation. So, for sure. Absolutely be taking a vacation in January. But I love it. You know, I really do thrive on this type of activity. I'm best under pressure. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
I thrive best under pressure. I get things done faster. I get things done more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that saying that they have about if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. And part of the reason is that busy people do thrive with a lot of activity, but they also can't procrastinate because they know that to get each thing done, they have to do it now. So there's this sense of urgency when you are a busy person, and that's how you get things done. I think people who aren't doing very much, it's because they don't have the sense of urgency about anything. And so consequently, it just drags on, and then you're past the point at which you can do it. So I think that sense of urgency is what keeps you going. But I'm glad you recognize the importance of taking time off, too, because
mm-hmm.
that can derail anybody's success if you're not taking care of your health, your mental, physical, emotional, and other health. And,
absolutely.
And your family, too, you know, taking
mm-hmm,
care of
mm-hmm.
your family.
Well, and therein lies the balance, right? I mean, not only do I have, you know, the amount of work activity that I have, but I spend a lot of time with my family. My husband and I are going on vacation to Reno in a couple weeks. My son and I spend quality time together. You know, I've got a personal trainer that stay healthy. You know, there's a lot of things that are going on in that regard that help me really have a well-balanced life. And you know, once in a while, sure, you know, there's where I don't want to do anything and I want to stay in bed, and you know what, I do, I stay in bed.
Yes.
So it
and
works
giving yourself
fine.
Permission to do that is
mm-hmm.
so important, and so many people don't, and boy, you know, do they suffer. Now, how did you make this decision to live your passion?
You know, I don't know if I ever really sat down and said, I'm going to go live my passion. I think what happened to me is as I started to do some of the things that I really wanted to do and got the feeling of how I felt. You know, for example, sitting down with a woman who wanted to start her own business and her coming to me and saying, you know, I really want to do something in marketing. I'm not sure what it is, but I know that I want to do it. And helping her develop her company and watching her launch it and become successful, I got an amazing sense of accomplishment from that. I felt wonderful helping her do that. She was thrilled. You know, who doesn't want to feel that way? And so it was an automatic for me. Oh, okay, I like that. I want to do more of that. Talking to other gift basket companies and helping them revamp the front page of their website just to help them realize that, you know, you've got to have a lot of pictures on there so that people can see what you're all about, making some of those just simple changes for them and what an impact it had
mm-hmm.
felt good to me, and I wanted to do more of that. So those, I don't think that I ever really had a decision-making point. Same thing happened when I launched Gourmet Gifts. I really enjoyed making gift baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. To this day, I love it. I love being out there. I love creating. I love everything about it, and so I wanted to do more of it.
Yeah, that's, you know, you're very fortunate that you found things you enjoyed and you followed through with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many people get some great ideas, things they want to do, but for whatever reason, they don't push it forward. And I think that's one of the greatest sources of unhappiness and frustration and even mental illness, depression, many times because people aren't doing what they love to do.
Absolutely. And a lot of it has to do with fear and lack of knowledge.
Yes,
you know, people are worried that they're going to fail or they're worried that they're not going to be able to handle it or they don't know how to get started. And
mm-hmm.
once you get over that hump, it's wonderful. It's great to be empowered to have your own business, control of your own destiny, control of your own schedule. you know, that is such a great feeling. And to be able to do the things that you truly want to do is something that everybody should be doing. And that's why I enjoy you so much, because you really
you really
do send that message of living your passions and doing the things that you truly want to be doing, and transitioning from maybe a cubicle and a desk job into your own company or doing something that you really truly enjoy can be a rough road. But once you get there, the benefits are enormous.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I know you do that I stress in my book is learning to say yes to yourself and no to other people. And at first that sounds like I'm encouraging selfishness, but what it is encouraging you to follow whatever you like to do, which means that there's some things that you don't like as much you're going to say no to.
Absolutely.
Or maybe you're going to be pulled and tugged by someone to do something that's not your passion.
That's right.
And you have to say no to that. So it's, you already learned long ago how to do this, so I'm very happy that you did. Now, what recommendations do you have for people who haven't been as fortunate and who feel stuck?
You know, I think it's really a matter of really finding out what's holding you back. And you know, I spoke about it earlier, and a lot of it has to do with fear. I have a friend of mine who has all of the talents in the world. She's a singer. She loves kids. And you know, I worked with her for a while to try to get her to start her own company, and then all of a sudden it just completely stopped. And I think the main reason why was because of the fear of not really being confident in yourself to know that you can go do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And having the confidence and the just the attitude that, you know what, I am going to do this. I'm going to do it. And whatever roadblocks are in front of me, I'm going to work to push them away and to figure out a way to plow through them, not go around them, but plow through them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what it is figure out what is holding you back and then design a plan or work with somebody to try to help you to clear those roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
And buy your stick of dynamite. I think it's important that you're able to really buy your
stick of dynamite.
You know, I've given people a stick of dynamite before that has a message on it that says, "Blow it up, get through that mountain, go
hey,
and
I
do
like
what you want to do." It's not very safe. Don't do it too much. But,
okay.
You know, it's one of those things where blow it up. You've got to. If you want to do it, you've got to work hard. It's not going to come and land in your lap. It's just not. You've got to go get it, and you are solely responsible for it. So, I think that's the big thing: is figure it out. What's holding you back?
You know what, one of the things when you're talking about blowing it up and working through the obstacles and so forth, I think people who feel stuck look at people who are successful and think that it was easy for them and that they had no problems. And I think that talking to other people who are doing what you want to do or, you know, succeeding in an area, that it can be very helpful when that person shares the obstacles they went through, because for whatever reason, some people think, wow, well, it's easy for you. It's like, no, I had to go through these challenges and those. So I think just finding out how other people have gotten through stuff can be very empowering.
Absolutely. And I've been accused of that. You know, I've been accused of, well, you know, you have a full-time job. You have plenty
of
money. Part of it is the money aspect. If you don't have the money to get it started, well, you know what? My husband's rule was you have to use your own money to start any new companies that you want to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to use the money that I was making from Gourmet Gifts to start Gift Basket Association, to start the Women's Networking Alliance, and I did it.
Yes.
So, you know, I have had a lot of that. It's easy for you. You understand how to create a website. I don't know how to do that. Yeah, but you know what? My response has always been, but you have me to help you.
Exactly.
So no more excuses. You have me to help you get your business started. You have me to help you learn how to make a website. We've got plenty of resources available. Okay, what's your next issue? And let's move off of that one. What's your next issue?
What's your next problem? And
what's the
you
next
know what?
Issue, yeah.
The thing about, I'm glad you mentioned about your full-time job, because many people have this desire to start a business, and somehow or another they naively believe that they can quit their full-time job, start a business with not enough capital or knowledge, and wonder why it doesn't succeed. And I think they need to realize that Number one, a lot of people started their businesses while still working full-time. And they did it, their business on the side little by little. And, of course, the Internet has made this just so much easier than it was in the dark ages. But they also have to realize that we all have fear. And the difference is, one of my favorite books is Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
That's right.
It's like you're going to have fear. It's normal. But the difference in people who succeed and those who don't is we just work through the fear. We know it may fail. I mean, that's always that possibility.
Well, I always say that.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, what's the worst that can happen?
Exactly. And, you know, one time I was considering, I used to have a tutoring program, talk about multitasking, and I wanted to buy a commercial building. Didn't know squat about how to buy real estate. I mean, we owned a house, but I didn't know. And I really just had this desire to have a commercial building where I could expand my program. And I just worried about it, talked to one of my friends, and she said something that was very important and is related exactly to what you just said. She said, okay, if you bought this building, what's the worst thing that could happen? And I said, well, I could run out of money, not have make enough to pay for it, and I'd lose the building. She said, okay. She said, you don't have the building right now, do you? I said, no. So she said, so you'd just be back to where you are now.
Sure, sure.
Said, oh.
It's also about managing. It's about managing risk, too. Right.
Yeah.
It's about managing risk. If you don't have a lot of money right now, then don't go out and buy the entire store. Start off slow. Start off really, really slow. Make your own business cards for a while. You know, whatever you need to do to just start off slow. And as things get bigger, then you'll know whether or not it's going to work or not, or whether or not you need to tweak your business model or what have you.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, another good thing about starting slow is it gives you an opportunity to find out if you really like what this thing is, because there are many things that sound good on the surface. And then we'll really get into them. We discover, wait, I don't really like doing this.
Absolutely.
So if you have made a slow start, a small start, then you can find that out, and it's quicker to abandon something that you haven't invested a lot in yet.
Absolutely. And I've had people come to me and say, I want to start my own business. And I go, okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a second, right? Well, you know, why don't we talk about, let's make a list of 12 things that you think you might enjoy doing and you might enjoy having your own business. And let's put that list together, and I'll go through your list and give you the pros and cons of each one. And let's talk about it. And I've had several people start companies in that manner. They know they want to have their own business. They know they don't want to work for corporate America for the rest of their life. And so we start from 12 different ideas, narrow it down to 6, narrow it down to 3, and then their final one. And then we also work on a transition plan. How do you go from a full-time job to eventually leaving that and move in transitioning into your business? Because you're right, a lot of people do make that mistake. They quit their full-time job before they're really ready. Before they're really ready, and then maybe that's not the right answer for you. Maybe you do have to work twice as hard right now to live your passion. Absolutely.
Now, is this approach of people not knowing what they want to have a business, but they don't know what they want to do, is this one of the typical roadblocks? Would you consider that a roadblock for people?
I don't necessarily consider it a roadblock. I consider it an opportunity. I think that it provides you with an opportunity to really sit down and reflect on what you're passionate about. People often, in my opinion, start businesses in the wrong way. They start a business because they see that there is a significant financial impact and benefit to starting that business, and then they start it and they realize they hate it. They don't like it. They don't like the product that they're selling. They don't believe in it, but yet they, you know, they were talked into, or they see a potential financial benefit, when it really should be about, what do you really enjoy doing? What are you passionate about? And how can you make money through it?
Yeah.
And that's the flip for me, is really that concept.
Well, you know, we only have 5 minutes left, and I do want the listeners to find out how they can contact you and what services you offer to help them live their passion. So give me that information right now before we run out of time.
Sure. My direct email address is Debbie at debbiequintana.com. Everything I do and all the various companies and activities that I'm involved in, you can see at www.debbiequintana.com. My direct phone number is 408-448-6131.
Okay, 408-448-6131. And your website is debbiequintana.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what services for people who are looking to live their passions, what kind of things can you do to help them? Obviously, if they already have a business idea, you can help them. What about if they are just looking for how to live their lives more fully? Do you get into life coaching as well?
I do. I've got a couple of different people that I partner with that do that as well, but I take about 12 clients at a time. So once I close out a project, then I open up. I have two openings right now. I've got 10 clients, so I've got two openings. I do everything from helping you find out what you're passionate about and turning that into living your dream and creating a business around it, all the way to if you have a small business right now and you're kind of stuck and not too sure what to go with it, where to go with it, I help with that as well.
Okay.
Those are the two strong areas that I have.
Did you do this on the phone or face-to-face?
Uh-huh.
How did you do your...
Both. Okay. Primarily over the phone. A lot of my clients are not in this area. I'm in San Jose, California, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what does your future look like, Debbie?
You know, I'm thrilled that the Women's Networking Alliance is going national in 2010. I think being able to take the networking model, business model that we have national is really going to help a lot. We do everything from, individual networking coaching sessions together all the way to community involvement, and that's going to be a big passion of mine for 2010. I'm also looking to really push the Gift Basket Association forward to really, truly enable these gift basket company owners to help one another build their business, because there's so much business out there that I believe that we can gather more of it. So those are those are my two strong points for 2010 for me.
What's your number one piece of advice that you would give the listeners?
Do not let anything hold you back. Make a list of your fears and what you're concerned about, and figure out how to blow it up. Buy a stick of dynamite.
Okay.
There it is.
Preferably from a party store, everyone.
Yes. Absolutely.
We don't want to be called in on
no.
any kind of court appearances and about what we were giving bad advice. We're talking pretend dynamite, everyone.
Metaphorically. Yes.
But to blow up those obstacles and to network with other people that can help you see them. Sometimes we can't even see the obstacles, and we know we're being blocked, and we need help from a coach like you or like me. I also do coaching to help us see what those are and even to give us advice on how to blow them up. I think that's important. So I'm going to encourage everyone to be sure and contact Debbie if you have resonated with anything that we've said today. Go ahead and give Debbie a call at 408-448-6131. And or go take a look at her website, Debbie Quintana, Quintana.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I am so thrilled that you took time to come and share with us today. I've certainly been encouraged and empowered by your message. And I want to remind everyone, including you, Debbie, that this recording will be available shortly after the show ends. Usually within a few minutes. They say within an hour, but it's usually before that. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today, and I invite you to join me again next Monday, November 2nd at 11 a.m. We're going to have another exciting show. The announcement for it is already up, so take a look and see what's going to be happening next week. I want to remind all of you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. You can learn about my book there as well as my coaching and other kinds of things I offer. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter, because I've heard a lot of good stuff about my newsletter mostly ladies who signed up for it, but it's open to you guys too. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. Now, I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. But remember, thanks to the Internet, we can work together online. We can work together on the phone. And that's just a wonderful thing, one of my favorite inventions. I want to encourage all of you to have a blessed week. Thank you again so much, Debbie.
Thanks, Flora, for having me.
Certainly. And I want to remember all of you to color your own life happy in whatever way that means for you. Living your passion is probably the first thing to do, and Debbie's already given you lots of tips on how to do that. So I'm going to say goodbye and look forward to having you join me next week. Just remember one thing you need to do.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.